you have gathered here tonight. This is where your wrongs will be made right. Well, you will experience true freedom. And I will shower you with love. I will pour out on you grace that abounds. My love will flow over you like a waterfall. And I will draw you close to me, where my light will shine and you will experience true liberty. Hallelujah. You want true liberty? Then just have a heart that's yielded to God. Whatever He wants, whatever He desires, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. And we can take joy in giving because God has given everything to us, right? So, Father, we just thank you that every gift that is given unto you, you bless it, you multiply it. Bless every gift and giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Say, there's no darkness in me. You know, I was just thinking about during worship, when, you know, Ephesians tells us to give no place to the devil. I was thinking, how do we not give place to the devil? You give place to the devil simply by turning the light on. Jesus said, in me there is no darkness. So, since the enemy operates in darkness and deception and lies and undercover, he doesn't really want to expose his true agenda. Although the Bible already exposes it to the believer. When he tries to influence you with darkness, you can simply turn on the light, and that light will repel the darkness. Hence, you will not give place to Satan. Amen? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And let's look at verse 5. The Bible says this, O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Woo! That is an invitation to us. God desires for us to walk in the light of the Lord. Not just any light, but the true light. The light that gives life. The light that shines forever. The light that's never going to go out. Did you know that we can walk in the light? The light was meant for us to walk in. To apply it to our lives. To bask in it. You know, sometimes God just wants you to be like you're sitting on the beach on a hot sunny day and you're just basking in the sun. Letting the light touch you. Letting the light just warm you. Letting the light, you're just enjoying the light. And in the Old Testament, he's telling them, come, let's walk in the light of the Lord. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. So everywhere you go, you can operate in the light. If we can walk in the light, then we can operate in the light wherever we go, wherever we are. Okay? He says this in Ephesians 5:8. For you were sometimes darkness. Remember, before we met Christ, we were in darkness. Right? We may have not realized it then that we were in darkness, but we were. But then he says, but now. Something must have happened from the time we were in darkness, but now. Okay? And he says, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We need to walk as children in. Now we're in the light of the Lord. Now we need to walk. Our walk is how we live. Light is, when we walk in light, we're walking in truth. We're walking in righteousness. We're walking in holiness. It's how we live. It's how we interact. How many know Jesus walked this earth? And everywhere he walked in light. Why? He is the light. He showed us how to use his light in everyday living. He said, walk in the light. Walk as children of the light, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So, walking in the fruit of the Spirit must be similar to walking in light. Okay? Then he says, proving what is acceptable or pleasing to the Lord. So, another way that we can walk in light is doing what's pleasing to Him, doing what's acceptable to God. How many know there are things that God accepts and there are things that God doesn't accept? And only God can discern between the acceptable heart and the unacceptable heart. Right? Cain and Abel. One was accepted, one was not. But the one who wasn't accepted had the opportunity to become accepted. But he had to change his heart. But he didn't want to change his heart because darkness had flooded his heart. He was already overtaken by darkness because of his attitude. He let that attitude, that dark attitude, just overtake him, and it became his action. Okay? So, the fruit of the Spirit has something to do with walking in the light. Finding what's acceptable to God has something to do with walking in the light. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the what kind of works? Unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, correct them, okay? Expose them. The light that's in you automatically exposes darkness. Once you turn the light on, it exposes the darkness that's there. Okay? Then he goes on. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved or exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Whatever is made known is light. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. So we as a church, we need to wake up. There are live churches and there are dead churches. But the dead churches have an opportunity to what? To wake up. Christ will give them light. And when the light hits something dead, it does make it alive. Okay? Where are we going to get that light? The source of God's light is Jesus, and it's in His Word. The entrance of His Word gives light. You want to change your situation? Enter the Word. Okay? Bring the Word on the scene. So, we can walk in the light. The light was meant for us to walk in. Fruit of the Spirit, finding out what's acceptable to God, what pleases God. Did you know that when you find out what pleases God, you can walk in that knowledge? And if you don't know what's pleasing to God, ask Him. Say, God, what pleases you? Ask Him. He'll tell you. So we need to walk in the light. Let's go to Esther. Let's go to the book of Esther, chapter 8. This is a very powerful passage of Scripture. The king had taken Haman's estate and put it under Esther's control. All right? And then Esther, in turn, gave all of Haman's estate to Mordecai. And Mordecai came before the king, and the king put his signet ring on him. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. That's in verse 2. But then there was still this looming attack that was going to happen on all the Jews. Okay? So Esther pleads with the king. And she says, you know, send a decree out so that the Jews can defend themselves. Let's look at verse 5. If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of whoever, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are all in the king's province. How many know when you plead with the king, he can turn the tide against your enemy? Okay? And then she said in verse 6, for how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged on the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write you also for the Jews as it likes you, or as it seems good to you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which was written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Okay? So they called in the scribes, and Mordecai got to write the letter to the Jews, to all their things, in 127 provinces, and unto every province according to the writing thereof, unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to the writing and according to the language. And then he sealed it with the king, and that he sent riders on horseback, and they delivered the king's message. Okay? Now, go down to verse 15. All right? Notice what happens here. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a green crown of gold, a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had what? Light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province, in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews. So I want to encourage you that when you're walking in the light, you will also have joy. You will also, the light will cause you to rejoice. The light makes you rejoice. Hallelujah. It brings joy and gladness. The Jews had light. They had permission to defend themselves against attack. I'm telling you, the king has issued you a decree. You have permission to defend yourself against any enemy attack. You can use the name of Jesus. You've been authorized and deputized by Jesus to release his light and it'll bring you joy. It'll cause you to rejoice. It'll make you glad. Put a smile on your face. The light makes you glad. Hallelujah. That's powerful. Light will affect you in a positive way. When people are depressed, what do? They stay inside and they what? They don't turn on lights, do they? They see, because the darkness feeds their depression. If you don't want to feed your depression, let the light come in. The light will remove that. It'll break through the depression. Go to Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Psalm 4, 6 through 8. It says this. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift you up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, you only make me dwell in safety. What does it say? When he shines his countenance upon you, what's going to come in your heart? Gladness. Say, I've got gladness in my heart. So what do you do with that gladness? Release it. How do you release it? Ha, ha, ha. Right? Well, I don't feel like going ha, ha. Do it anyway. That's the best time when you need to go ha, ha, is when you don't feel like it. You ever notice whenever Jesus told someone to do something, he never said, how do you feel about that? Or he never said, what do you think about that? You know, he never said to the lame man, pick up your mat and walk. What do you think about that? No, he just said, pick up your mat and walk. He didn't ask him how he felt. He just said, do what I say do. Right? And if gladness is in your heart, it's got to come out. You cannot keep gladness in your heart all bottled up. The pressure will build. Amen? So you might as well just get in the practice of releasing the gladness that comes from light. All right? Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 9. The light of the righteous, what? Rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Praise God. The light of the righteous rejoices. Are you righteous? Have you been made righteous by his blood? Then we have reason to rejoice. And I like it says rejoice. You may have rejoiced before, but you can redo it. You can do it again and again. How long should I rejoice? Until it takes over. Right? Rejoice. New Testament says rejoice. And again I say rejoice. The best time to rejoice is when things are going bad, when things are happening in your life. I'll never forget the story. I read it in his book, Richard Roberts. He had just taken over for his dad. They named him president. And at that time, you know, they were in like $40 million of debt or something like that. I don't know the exact figures, but he was in a board meeting. And they were talking about what are they going to do about this debt, and they realized that they had stopped giving. The university had stopped giving into different things. And the Spirit of the Lord just hit him, and he fell out of his seat laughing. And, you know, everybody was looking at him there in this board meeting here, and he just fell in the floor just laughing, laughing, laughing. And that happened several times on different occasions in relation to this debt thing that he had. You know, because he was feeling the pressure on how he was going to fill his father's shoes. Well, him and his father didn't wear the same size shoes. right? But he got through that time because joy was released. I mean, you got a choice. When you see a bill that you don't know how you're going to pay, you can either cry or laugh. You might as well laugh, right? After all, who's your source? Say, God is my source. Amen. He'll work it out. So we can rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because He's the light. We can rejoice in the light. And when His light floods your soul, you can't help but get happy. God never leaves anybody depressed. He never leaves anybody, you know. I mean, the woman who was caught in adultery, she got to leave better than how she met Jesus. They brought her to Jesus in a mess. He said, go and sin no more. She's like, where are you? He left her without any accusers. All the people that were accusing her were gone, and there was a woman. She was now free to live. Jesus will always leave people better than when He finds you. Okay? Go to Psalm 36. Psalm 36 and verse 9. Here's a powerful scripture that we'll probably finish on tonight. Psalm 36 and verse 9. It says this, "For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light shall we see light." Did you know that in God's light, He increases your light? He multiplies your light. When you're looking at His light, you're also getting light. When you're seeing His light is flooding your soul. Okay? In His light, we see light. So His light multiplies or increases your light. You know, in Babylon, when Daniel was, and Shadrach, Meshach, they were exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay? And they got thrust into this program of who was going to be qualified to work for the king. Right? But Daniel had light. Daniel had light in him. And in dark Babylon, in this particular area where the king was, there were four lights. There might have been others, but the Bible is focusing on these four. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? So, let's go to Daniel chapter 1 for a moment. Daniel chapter 1. I want you to see how the lights can change situations, okay? When something doesn't look like it's going to work out, you're not looking at the right thing. See? If you want things to work out, you got to look at His light, because in His light, that's when you see light. Okay? You're only going to see light looking to the light. And let me tell you something. When you look at the light of the Lord, it won't blind you. It'll actually open your eyes. It'll actually cause revelation to flow. All right? Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17. Daniel 1 and verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them what? How did God give them knowledge? Who did they look to? See, they were looking to God, and in His light, they saw light, and God's light flooded their hearts, and they were able to shine even in the midst of darkness. Okay? Notice this now. So, they were in this training program of who was going to serve the king, and God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. See, when you're looking to His light, you get illuminated. You get enlightened. You get enriched. You get the advantage. All right? It's like when you go into the tanning booth, you come out darker than what you went in. Right? Because you were affected. You were in the presence of light, and you come out darker. Some of you get burned, but some of you come out darker. As long as you're not in there too long, right? But my point is this. When you get around the light, when you get in the light, you can't help but be affected by the light. Okay? Now, they gave him skill and wisdom and learning, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians or astrologers that were in the realm. See, because Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're always looking to the light. And when they were looking to the light, they saw light. That light got in them, and it affected their circumstance. It affected their environment. And they got 10 times, they were 10 times wiser than all the magicians and astrologers in Babylon. Now, Babylon had a lot of provinces. There was probably a lot of magicians and whatever. But Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had the advantage. Go to chapter 2, verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven." What happened? The king had this dream, and he wanted the interpretation of it, but he would not tell the dream. He wouldn't explain the dream, but he wanted the interpretation. How are you going to figure out a dream that someone doesn't tell you? You got to get some light. What did Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? They prayed to the God who reveals secrets. They prayed to the light of the world, and in his light, they saw light. In his light, they got the revelation of the secret things, because light exposes the secret things. Light makes things known. All right? And Daniel told the dream, and he told the interpretation of it, because he got it from the light. And notice what happens. Look it down to verse 46. "Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation or an offering and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing you could reveal this secret." See, when you look to the light, you see light. You got to get in the habit of going to the light. "Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province." See, they were walking in the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. See, for everything that they faced in life, they went to the light for answers. They didn't consult their neighbors for the answers. They went to the light. They went to the source. Because in his light, we see light. You don't have to turn there, but Isaiah 60, verse 19 says, "The Lord will be to you an everlasting light and your God, your glory." An everlasting light is one that always shines. And if you want him to shine on your situation, look to that light. You know what? The light needs your permission to shine on your situation. And that's why we pray. That's why we call upon God. The light is available to you, but we just have to access it by faith. Ephesians, we better go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, then we'll go to Ephesians. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In our hearts, to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Whew. So when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were faced with an impossible situation, they turned to the light. Okay? They looked to the light. And God shined in their hearts. And He gave them light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And they were able to let that light that God gave them shine to the king of Babylon and change the circumstance. Do you realize what would have happened to the wise men had there been no interpretation? They would have all died, including Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If someone didn't know how to access the light, all those people would have died in vain. But thank God there were four people who know how to get access, how to get information from the lights. In just one moment, God downloaded the truth that they needed. Because they went to the light. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Look at verse 17 and 18. This is powerful. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Those are all related to light. Notice what happens here. Verse 18. And the eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. That you may know. The reason God gives you light is so that you will know whatever it is you need to know. Lord, I don't know how to correct this thing in my family. You need light. You need to let the light come in. And the light will show you how to correct that thing. You just need the light to shine. And it will expose the darkness. And once the darkness is exposed, then you can put it out with the trash. Oh, I didn't know that was there. Well, let's take care of that right now. See, it's when the light shined, it was exposed. The eyes of your understanding being... not once and done, but ongoing, right? Being. That's walking in the light. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Okay? Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're almost done. Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. This is a good prayer. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. How are you going to behold wondrous things out of your law? You need your eyes open. When your eyes are open, they see light. Open our eyes, Lord. When Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, and He talked with those two individuals, what did He do? He opened their minds about the truth of the resurrection. Because He was like, what's been happening? He says, have you been in Jerusalem? You don't even know what's happening? But they didn't even know it was Jesus. But then there came that moment when their minds were opened. And they said, they were testifying. They said, remember, our hearts even burned within us. See, the light was trying to work. The light was trying to burst forth. But then their minds were open. That's when the light was turned on. When does the light in your refrigerator go on? When you open the door. When you, hopefully, if everything's working and if everything's connected, when you open that door, the light comes on. When you open your heart, the light comes on. When you open your mind, when you open your mouth to the Lord, that's when the light will come on. Amen? See, when you look to His light, you discover His love. When you look to the light, He exposes things in you. When you look to the light, you're able to see things you didn't see before. You're able to know things you didn't know before. When God shines His glory on you, it gives you a different picture. When you're sick and a word comes to your heart that says, arise, shine, for your light has come, that word alone gives you the strength to rise up above it. I mean, think about it. The lame man, a lot of lame people that Jesus encountered. Lameness is darkness. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes, who's the light of the world, and He shines on their lameness and He says, arise and walk. The light contradicts the darkness and the light wins. And when the light said, pick up your mat and walk, the lame man just did what he for that moment, he saw he could do something that he couldn't do before because someone said it. And what happened? He picked up his mat and walked. What happened? He was no longer in the darkness. Now he was in the light. And the darkness, which is the lameness, was gone. All done by the light. That's so powerful. See, Jesus is the source of light. All light proceeds from Him. And He enables us to see the light. He enables us to see what is true. When we look to Him and we meditate in His character, we have understanding. Our understanding increases. When you're surrounded by the light, Paul, I said this before, Paul on the road to Damascus, what did he encounter? He encountered the light. He was in darkness. The darkness made his mind think that it was okay to persecute and kill Christians just because they believed in Jesus. That's dark thinking. But here he is. He's just traveling on Damascus. And all of a sudden, he's surrounded by lights. And what happened? That light opened his eyes. Well, in his case, he had 3 days to think about it. He was blind for 3 days. God gave him a choice. He had 3 days to think about whether or not he was going to serve God. And he had already made up his mind, so then God sent Ananias. Ananias comes along, lays hands on him, gets him filled with the Holy Ghost, baptizes him, and the scales off of his eyes come off. And now he saw things in a different light. He now saw that he needed to preach to him and not persecute him. He needed to establish churches, not tear them down. Amen? I'm telling you, God's light is powerful. It's not by looking at ourselves. You got to look directly to Him. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Listen, your faith has to be in Jesus, nothing else. Looking unto Jesus, He is the only author, He is the only finisher, He's the only object of our faith. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Your faith can't be in anything else. Why? Only in God is light. If you're looking anywhere else opposite the light, you're looking in darkness. And in darkness you will be deceived. In darkness you will be held in bondage. In darkness you will be stolen from. Most thieves don't steal in the daytime unless they're a pickpocket or something like that. Even then, they're still using deceptive tactics. Everything away from God is dark. But everything that is near Him is light. And we can walk in this light. We can take this light with us wherever we go. And Matthew 5:16 says, let your light, say, I have a light. What does He want? What is the purpose of a light? To shine. The only purpose of a light is to shine. It was meant to shine. It wasn't meant to do anything else but shine. And He said, let your light. He said, do your good works before men, and let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. See, light has to be seen. When they see you do something good, they're seeing the light shining. And do you take a light? Do you put it under a bushel? No. Right? What's that song? Not going to put it under a bushel. No. This is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. We got to let the light shine. When Moses was on the mountain for 40 days, he got suntanned in the light. He came down and he spent so much time in the light that he came down with the glory of God on him. And he literally was shining, glowing. I mean, the Israelites said, put a veil over your face, Moses. Why? They couldn't handle the light. And guess what? Not everybody's going to be able to handle the light. All right? But that doesn't mean you should stop shining. That just means you should shine somewhere else. So we have an opportunity tonight to look to the light. What is it that you've been struggling with? Your answer is in the light. Your answer is not in the natural things. It's in God. It's in spiritual things. Do you realize everything you face has a spiritual source? And when you get around God's light, I mean, light will drive the darkness out of your soul. It will literally heal you. And Peter, James, and John, they got to see Jesus in all of His light. They went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And they got to see Jesus transformed in all of His glory. Illuminating light, brilliant light, brighter than the noonday sun. Brighter than snow, reflecting the noonday sun. I mean, bright, bright, bright. Was Peter, James, and John, were they harmed by seeing the light? No. Peter said, hey, this is a good place. Let's build some tabernacles here, Lord. I'm telling you, the light is here to benefit you. God made you light bearers. You can look to the light. You can let the light warm you. You can let the light come in you. And you can let the light shine through you. But the answers you seek, the answers you need, are in the light, not in the darkness. Your answers are not in your feelings or your emotions. Your answer's in the Word. You just need to let God's Word come in and it'll bring light. You just need to let God's Word shine on your finances. It'll bring light. Amen? It'll kick out fear. Did you know that you can't have fear and faith in the same container? So you got to pick one or the other. All right. God wants to touch you with His light. And maybe you're here tonight. You just need to be touched by His light. I want to just expose you to His light tonight. Amen? Because in His light, you will see light. You will see things that you didn't see. You will know things you didn't know. Secrets will be revealed. Truth will be revealed. nuggets that you need. How does a doctor look inside your body? He uses light. He uses light to look at your bones and at your organs. It's an x-ray. He uses light to see inside. God has a better light than an x-ray machine. He has a better light than an MRI. He can see without any machine. That's how powerful His light is. Let yourself be touched by God's light tonight. If you want prayer, come up right now and receive from His light. When you come up here, you got to be persuaded that you're going to be illuminated. All right? You got to be fully persuaded that you're going to be illuminated. Yeah. God is putting a solar panel on you. Woo! In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for the solar panel. You're drawing strength from the light. You're drawing power from the lights. In the name of Jesus. And He's given you what you need. And you're storing that light when you need to release it. It's going